A previously recorded Matt Slick Show.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Everybody, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick, and of course, you're listening to Matt Slick Live. For the newbies, that's my real name, not just a radio name. It is my real name, and learned to run as a kid because of it. If you want to give me a call, and you have questions on the Bible, you have questions on theology, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Christian Science, Unity, Baha'i, Islam, and some other stuff. And I'm going to share with you what happened last night. I was in an impromptu debate, and I'll share what happened. And we talk about all kinds of stuff. So if you want to give me a call, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. And you know what I'm really surprised about? In all seriousness, I'm really surprised about is my YouTube has not yet been taken down. My Facebook's not yet been taken down by the fair leftists, they're fair. They want free speech and everything. And so, that's why they go take people down, because they don't like conservative thought and things like that. So I'm still up and running for a while. We'll see what happens. Not that I'm asking to be, removed, but how things are going. So how come the Facebook feed isn't quite working right? I get the URL. There we go. I got it. Okay. All right. So we have five open lines, 877-207-2276. Now, some of you may know that what I do is periodically I will get on something called Discord. And Discord is a place for discussions, and I have lots of discussions there. And so it was an impromptu debate. We actually kind of got formalized a little bit. It was completely unplanned, and I was debating a guy who was Eastern Orthodox. And Eastern Orthodox is a little hard to nail, because they don't really have an official set of books that you can go by and say, this is what Eastern Orthodox is supposed to believe. There's generally the same idea across the groups within it. All right. So, I was in a room and they were talking. And while I'm working on articles, I'm converting some stuff from PowerPoint into articles on inspiration of Scripture, mathematics, and I'm listening. I do this when I'm, and then someone said, hey, Matt, because I'm in the room, they go, hey, can we ask you questions? That kind of thing happens a lot. And next thing we're in debating and stuff. Okay, so I kept my notes from this impromptu discussion. And we had this debate because, the Bible teaches justification by faith alone in Christ alone. Now, what the cults and false religions do that use the Bible is they will say that, no, it's not by faith alone, but faith and sacraments, or faith and baptism, or faith and maintaining yourself by doing the right things and not doing bad things, and so God's grace stays with you as long as you're doing these things. And, of course, that's heresy. And so we're discussing various stuff, and this guy's Eastern Orthodox, and we went all over the place, and I always get a little annoyed sometimes when people just, you ask them a question, and they give you a five-minute answer, what's 2 + 2? Well, let me explain, and then 5 minutes later, you have to say, can you tell me what's 2 + 2? You don't answer the question. And this happened a lot, in my opinion, last night. The guy says, no, I'm answering your question. He says, no, you're not. We went through various issues, and he wanted to say that faith is the normative means of salvation when it's combined with baptism. And baptism is the thing you have to do normally in order to get saved. That's where you're regenerated. So I asked him, I said, are we justified by faith? Does the Bible say that? And are you justified by faith? He said, yes. And I said, well, then if we're justified by faith, when we have faith, are we justified? And that's when it went bad, okay? That's when it went bad. Because I said, if we're justified by faith, then when we have faith, are we justified? And he wouldn't say yes. Because if we're justified by faith when we have faith, then we can't, you know, then baptism isn't going to what's going to regenerate us. He actually started talking about how we can be regenerated but not have faith, which is really dumb. But that's another topic. We're regenerated, but we're not saved. You know, God has made us born again, but we're not saved, and stuff like that. So, so he kept saying, okay, the issue here is intrinsic faith or extrinsic faith, and is it instrumental or is it, you know, all this stuff, you know? And in my opinion, when they do that, it's just to hide heresies. That's my opinion. And I came up with something, and I'm going to share that with you. And it's real simple. So, you know, I'll tell you, but in the chat part, I wasn't looking at it too much, but one guy came in and he said, he had been listening. He said, "Matt, I don't agree with you, but you really have some good questions." And here's what I was saying. I said, God gives us faith, Philippians 1:29. He grants it to us. And Jesus says in John 6, 28-29, that our faith is the work of God. So I said, is the faith that God grants us that same faith that God works in us, Philippians 1:29 and John 6:28? I said, is that faith that God gives us sufficient to justify us before Him? Now that's the question. Because a lot of times what people want to do is say, well, what kind of faith? Is it fiducia, essentia, you know, mixed in with a little bit of extrinsic value? What are you saying, Matt? You know, what are you talking about? And it just occurred to me. Is the faith that God grants us, Philippians 1:29, that same faith that God works in us, John 6, 28-29, is that faith sufficient to justify us before God? If you say yes, then baptism cannot be the means of salvation and justification. But if you say no, then it's not sufficient, then he's denying what the scriptures clearly teach. Either way, he's lost the argument. Real simple. See, I like stuff like this. I like stuff that is very simple and we can understand. And you know what? God grants that we believe, Philippians 1:29. And he grants that we have faith, we guess what we believe, have faith, Philippians 1:29. But our believing is the work of God. Is what God's work in us sufficient to save us, since the Bible says we're justified by faith? So all of you who might be listening, if you say that you have to be baptized to be saved, well, I'm going to just say, you know, you're a heretic. You're a false teacher. If you teach that we have to be baptized in order to be saved, you're a false teacher. Because and then if you say, well, I'm wrong, well, then you can call up and we can talk about it. But I'm going to ask the question. Is the faith that God grants us and the same faith that he works in us, which comes from him, that he gives us, is that faith that he gives us sufficient to justify us before God, before him? Of course it is. Because it comes from him. So I wonder what their answer would be. Like they ask some Church of Christ people, they can call up and then they can see if they can swim backwards, trying to get out of that predicament. But I don't think they'll call up. See? Look, folks, the truth is we're justified by faith without the works of the law of Romans 3:28. The one who does not work but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness, Romans 4:5. This is what the Bible teaches. Why is it that people say that you got to do a ceremony in order to be saved? What is it with people? We have to do something. Christ did something on the cross, but it's not sufficient in and of itself to save us. And the faith that God gives us, that's not sufficient either. We have to do something. We've got to take some sacraments, or we got to go get baptized. And baptism is not our work, it's God's work. Where does it say it's God's work in the Bible? It doesn't say that. They just say these things so that they can be justified by faith in a ceremony, faith in something they have to do. That's arrogance. Who would say before the infinite God on that day of judgment, yes, Lord, I deserve to be with you because of my faith and the ceremony I went through? No. But the ceremony you commanded, God. Yeah, you added work to the finished work of Christ, right? You know, God says, be humble. It was my faith and my humility. God says, be honest. It was my faith and my honesty. God says, get baptized. It was my faith and my baptism. Yeah. There's a lot of false teachings out there. Now, I'm going to run one more thing by you. Why don't you give me a call, 877 207-2276. So I was in the same room, and I, after you know this discussion kind of ended and he had to go, I stayed in for another half hour, hour, and answered more questions. And I raised an issue. I'm going to raise it here as well. I do this every now and then, the same questions and same issues, newbies, and you know people got to remember stuff. This is what it says in 2 Thessalonians 2. Now check this out. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure or be disturbed, either by a spirit or a message or a letter, as if from us, to the effect that the day of the Lord has come. Let no one in any way deceive you. Now check this out. Let no one in any way deceive you, for it will not come unless the apostasy comes first, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction. Okay, the word apostasy, apostasia in Greek, it only occurs two times in the Bible. And it's in here in 2 Thessalonians 2:3 and Acts 21:21, and the Jews among Gentiles who forsook Moses. Okay, that's the word forsake. You know, it's apostasia, for forsake, to fall away from the full belief and trust in Moses and what he has said and did. Okay, now, here's the thing. Most groups think, like the Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, whatever church, group, denomination, hey, we're the true church, we're the true whatever. And this includes Protestantism, and I said this, because I said, I'm a Protestant, okay? I don't believe in Catholicism. I believe it's apostate. I don't believe in Eastern Orthodoxy. I believe it's apostate. I believe it, you can't be saved in it if you believe official doctrine from them. That's what I believe. But I said, look, I'm a Protestant, but this applies to the Protestant movement as well, that the arrival of the Antichrist can't come unless the apostasy comes first. Does that mean, then, that there'd be no faith left on the earth? Does it mean that all the Protestant groups, denominations, are going to move towards false teachings? We certainly see that with people like Kenneth Copeland, Joyce Meyer. We see the NAR movements. We see Joel Osteen teaching mamby-pamby theology. We see more and more Protestants courting the false church of Roman Catholicism, which is apostate and false. Now, if the Roman Catholics want to say that they're the true church, then doesn't that mean then that they have to go apostate? Because apostasy has to come first. If the Eastern Orthodox say they're the true church, as so many groups like to do, we're the true church. You got to go with what we say. You know, I hate that stuff. But, well, wouldn't that then mean that the Eastern Orthodox has to go apostate? And how would they know when they're apostate if they're in the groups? It's just good, you know, good fodder for thinking through these things. And what can they mean? What might they mean? And it's something I've been thinking about, because I want to make sure that that we understand what the truth is. And here's one more thing out of 2 Thessalonians. Now, then notice what happens, because a lot of groups like to say that their tradition is true. Their apostolic succession is true. Their church, you know, ancient church. This is what's interesting. Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, that you not be quickly shaken from your composure, or be disturbed either by a spirit or a message or a letter from us to the effect of the day the Lord has come. The apostasy has to come first. And he says in verse 5, don't remember, but you know, I was telling you this. They were already moving into error when the apostles were still there. How much more might it occur through the centuries when people look to their tradition instead of the Word of God? They were getting it wrong in 2 Thessalonians. Interesting. Hey, folks, three open lines, 877-207-2276.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. If you want to give me a call, we have two open lines, 877-207-2276. Dave from Baltimore, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing? Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Can you hear me, Matt?
Yes, I can, Dave.
Awesome. First of all, I really like the new site. I know you've been working very hard on it, like the new design. My question for you, I was reading Dr. William Lane Craig, and there was an interesting question that was brought up, is whether or not the people in hell continue to sin even when they are in hell.
Probably, because they would be denying the true living God, cursing God, things like that. It would make sense. I mean, I couldn't say for absolute sure. Maybe they're just too busy writhing in agony, and they can't do anything. I don't know. What did Craig say?
So Craig actually was answering the question relating to the issue of infinite punishment for finite sins. Basically, he's arguing, from what I understand, he was arguing, well, perhaps the damned in hell continue to sin and accrue further punishment throughout being in hell.
Yeah, what I look at it as is the issue of, it's not a finite sin. It's an infinite sin because of who it's against. And I just think the premise is incorrect to begin with. It's not a finite sin. Because what is a finite sin? What does that mean? You know, when people ask the question, you know, should you go to hell for a finite sin? Okay, what's a finite sin? What's the difference? Is it a short sin, a long sin? A sin that took 3 seconds, took 3 days? Oh, what do you mean by finite? And so they don't have the answer, so they should not raise the question if they don't know what the term that they're using means. What they should say is something like...
And I agree with that.
Yeah, they should say something like, we commit sins here that you know, for example, we steal one thing, let's say, and that's, we've committed it, and then the person we stole it from passes away. We can't undo that and give it back to them. So it's a sin that has a beginning and an end. So if they were to say, well, that's what we mean by finite, a beginning and an end point, and that, if that's what they mean, I'd say, oh, well, let's talk about that. I'd say, well, why is it a sin? It's a sin because of who it's against, God. Well, God is infinite in his greatness and his majesty and his duration. So the sin is sin because of who it's against, not because of its duration. And that's what the issue is. If God, which is impossible, but if God didn't exist and someone stole something, then there is no sin because this has to be against God. That breaks the law. So sin is against the infinitely holy God, so therefore it has an infinite quality to it, and that's why it's a punishment forever. Which, if you don't repent, Dave, that's where you're going.
Well, thank you very much. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. I'll probably be on Discord later on.
See me on Discord. Okay, Dave. All right. Yeah, I've known Dave for years, so that's why I said that. He doesn't take offense to me saying that. He knows I've told him before in different contexts. He's a good guy in a, you know, relative sense, but real polite guy, too. He's just not a true believer. All right. Hey, folks, you have 3 open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. Kelly from Los Angeles. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, quick question. I don't think I've asked you this before, but just in case I have, forgive me. The other day at work, 2 opportunities arrived. One was from a family friend who texted me and told me she couldn't do my hair because she was in the hospital. And then right after that, a coworker walked up and told me that her mother is suffering from Alzheimer's and she's in the, like, you know, the last phases of her life, and she started crying. And so I immediately thought, oh, my gosh, you know, 2 opportunities to pray for someone. But as I began to pray, in my office by myself, I was wondering, how do we pray for people who aren't believers? I mean, I don't know if I should have asked them, can I pray with her right then and there, my coworker? But if you're a non-believer and you're outside of Christ, how do I pray for healing in your situation?
Well, you know, what I could do, what I have done, I just, you know, because this is more, you know, experiential, and there's no direct scriptural reference to how to do this, when to do this. But, you know, depending on circumstances, we've got to use our judgment. If someone is weeping because, let's just say, their spouse just died horribly and he just found out a few hours ago, it's not a good thing to say, hey, let's just drop what we're doing and pray right now. It's not a good time, you know.
Right.
And we have to be wise. But, you know, so let's just say that someone's mom, I guess, you know, is in the hospital or dementia or whatever it is, and it's appropriate, or it's a good time, a possible good time, you know. What I'll generally do is I'll say, well, would it be okay with you if I were to pray for you or for that person? You know, I could do it at home and stuff. And I wait to see what they say. You know, they say, oh, yeah, I'd like that. Let's see what. Mm-hmm. Okay, Greg, you know, I'll be definitely doing that. And if you want, I can pray for you anytime with you. And I try to give them the opportunity. You know, I don't want to put them on a spot, make them uncomfortable. I don't want them to avoid me. Because if I'm going to, you know, say, hey, let's pray. Okay, let's exegete this scripture. Come on, right? You know, they're going to stay away from me. I don't want to do that.
Right.
I'm going to be sensitive.
Right, yeah.
And enough people stay away from me normally because they just know who I am and what I do and how I normally am. You know, that's why we have a big house. My wife could stay on the far end because just, you know, because there's so much to put up with.
Okay.
With me. So that's what, how
okay.
it is.
Okay, you know. So, I see. I you know, this year I said I was going to use the opportunities that I got to share my faith, you know, and I'm just taking it day by day. But when those two opportunities arose on the same day at the same time, I just thought it was nobody but God and his sovereignty to do that, you know. So,
well, yeah, just remember.
But like you said,
gotta use
like
wisdom.
Like you said, reach out to them and you let them ask me to pray and don't just like hound them about it, of course.
Right. Right.
Right.
Yeah, I like to ask people if it's okay, you know, because if they're hurting, you got to be gentle. It's like a wound. You know, if you have a wound on an arm, and somebody goes, hey, look, I got stitches, I got this, and it broke that, and this, and this burned, and I got all this stuff on it, and you take your finger and start poking on it. Does that hurt? Let me help you right now. They're going to take a swing at you. You know, it's like a sensitive thing, so be very, very careful. And, you know, I've certainly blown it in situations, but I've learned over the years when someone is hurting, you know, they're concerned about a loved one, you've really got to be careful and just be patient and loving. And then I ask permission if I want to pray for them. It's okay if I pray for you. I can do it at home. I can pray for you, you know, and like that. And that's it.
Cool. Thank you, Mac. As always, God bless you and your wife and the ministry.
Well, thank you. You should call her up sometime and tell her how great she is. Because everyone knows how great I am. But tell her how great she is.
All right.
Okay.
All right, Matt. Bye-bye.
Okay, God bless. Thanks. Bye.
God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. And see, my wife, she listens to the show, so I know she hears stuff like that. And people call me up, man, I like your show. And I go, hey, call my wife up and tell her how great I am. People have actually done it. He called the office. Are you Matt's wife? Yes. Hey, your husband's great. She goes, did he put you up to this? Well, so that's how it works sometimes. Hey, we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. John from Wisconsin, who we just lost. That means we have nobody waiting online. Why don't you give me a call? But he was want to know if it's okay to celebrate Christmas or how to celebrate Christmas. That's what the note was. So let me kind of deal with that. After the break, maybe, because there's the music. So why don't you give me a call, folks, okay? 877-207-2276. We got five open lines. Give me a call. Be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to the show. Hey, I want to let you know about something. I'm going to get to the Christmas thing, too. But guess what? We're looking at doing an Israel trip. And we have a website set up, carmisrael.com. If you go to carmisrael, just one long word, it'll forward to another site. And Eric Johnson, he's a friend of mine. I've known him for, I don't know, 20, 30 years, a long time. At any rate, he works with Bill McKeever down there in Salt Lake City area. And works for the Mormonism Research Ministry, and they witness and do outreaches to Mormons. Well, Eric he's done a lot of trips to Israel. He knows it well. He's done, I don't know, 15, 20 trips. I don't know, a lot. And I went with him a few years ago, loved it. We want to go in March 6th through the 18th of 2022. Now, it says here, I hope he's listening, I'm going to have to get him to check it out. It says March 6th through 18th of 2021. which is this year, so we'll have to have him fix that. But there's also a survey link thing that you can click for survey, and I just clicked it, and that didn't work. So I'm hoping he's hearing me. He'll get right on it and fix it, because he sometimes listens. But either way, what we want to do is find out if anybody's interested, how many people want to be interested, or want to go but are interested in going, because we need to know within about 6 weeks before we're going to set it up. And for the people who fill out a little survey and some information and commit that they want to go, they get $100 off, I think, off their deposit. And there's some stuff. If you want to check it out, there's pictures of me on there in Israel. You can see Matchlick, founder of Karm. I think that was Laodicea, but I don't know. Might have been Laodicea that we were. No, it wasn't Laodicea. It was some other place. At any rate, and we have the theater at Caesarea and Bet Shean and Gate of Dan. There's a lot of cool stuff. A lot of cool stuff. I think the Gate of Dan is the actual gate where Abraham went through. I'm trying to remember. And it's a great time. Loved it. I want to go again. And we're going to check it out. So if you want to check it out, please do. Just go to KarmIsrael.com and you can check it out. We have no callers waiting. What is up with everybody? Give me a call. 877-207-2276. And the issue of Christmas. Is it okay for us to celebrate Christmas as Christians? And the answer is yeah, we can. We can celebrate Christmas. We are free to do it. We're free not to do it. Though Christmas, you know, on December 25th, that's not Jesus' real birthday. The Roman Catholic Church adopted December 25th because it was a winter solstice day. It was a day that when, back in Europe, the days of winter became longer. Because they're getting shorter and shorter during as winter is increasing, and in the middle of winter, it's the day then it starts getting longer and longer, and they would celebrate. And so the pagans would be, let's just say, pagan on that celebration on that day. And so the Catholic Church tried to get rid of the paganism in it, but they couldn't, so they just said, well, let's make that day the day they celebrate Christ's birthday. Now that means then that the day that we use is, you know, pagan holiday, essentially a pagan celebration day. Does it mean we can't celebrate? No, it doesn't mean that. According to 1 Corinthians 10, Christians are able to eat meat sacrificed to idols. And what that is talking about here is these things don't really mean anything. They aren't anything in reality. And you're free to do this stuff. You're free to eat the meat sacrificed to idols. You are. However, if it's going to stumble somebody, then you don't want to do that. If it's going to stumble them. See, we have freedom, but we don't want to use our freedom to weaken anybody else. So that's the idea, and we're free to celebrate Christmas, but you don't want to do it if it's going to be something that's going to stumble anybody else in your family. You need to be wise about it. And so, yes, Christians can celebrate Christmas. They can do that. And we're free to do that. All right, folks, look, why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We have nobody waiting online, which is very unusual. But I was thinking, maybe, just maybe, people don't want to call in as much because they got upset with me. And I was thinking, what would they be upset about? Maybe they were upset about me saying things like, if you're a real Christian, you shouldn't be voting for people who support abortion and homosexuality, because you shouldn't. You should not be voting for candidates who want to kill human life in the womb and who promote and support the abomination of homosexuality. It doesn't mean we hate people. It doesn't mean we want to persecute them. We want to treat people who've had abortions, we want to treat them lovingly. And, you know, I've known people who have, and my advice to them is always the same. Go to the cross. Go to Jesus. Lay it before Christ. Have it be wiped away and move forward and follow Him. And for people I know who are homosexuals, and I'm acquainted with, let's just say, two transsexual people, and that, you know, yeah, let's leave it at that. And I don't treat them badly. I just treat them normally, and they know my position, and I talk about what the need is to come to Christ. So you see, this is what we ought to be doing. We ought to be celebrating the truth of God's word and politely standing against those things which are contrary to God's teaching in Scripture. So I don't believe that any Christian should morally vote there's a moral issue here, should vote for any candidate, I don't care who it is, who supports these two things. Because it's just bad. How could you do that in good conscience? How could any Christian do it in good conscience? I don't understand it. Seriously, I would just, if any Christian out there has voted for a not it could be Republican or Democrat, it doesn't matter, anybody who supports and will work towards having laws passed to increase abortion, increase homosexuality, protect homosexuality, I would ask you, do you believe the Word of God? Do you recognize these as sins? And would you want to support someone and have them become public officers in order to foment and to further those things against God? Is that what you're doing? That's the question I would ask. And everybody needs to ask that question of themselves. Now, there's some gray areas in here. Not with those two issues, but there's some other issues that are, make it gray area. And we have to deal with those things individually. But this is the case. This is what needs to be said. And I've got this reputation for saying what needs to be said. And if you don't like it, you know, I'm not being mean or whiny, but hey, you can listen to something else. That's fine. You know, it's free. Still, it's supposed to be free. Unless you're a conservative, then you're not going to be that free. You'll be canceled. But, you know, you're free to listen to what you want. But if you want to hear someone who isn't ashamed of the Word of God, who will cite the Word of God, who will use the Word of God as a standard, then continue to listen. Because that's what I will do. We have four open lines if you want to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Let's get to Randall from West Virginia. Randall, welcome. You are on the air.
Hello, Matt.
Hi.
I've got a question. My granddaughter, who's 9 years old, she mm-hmm. was watching Bible stories, you know, okay. for children. And so later, you know, we kind of let them go when and don't supervise when they're watching Bible stories. But okay. later she asked me what, well, the B-I-T-C-H. She asked me what that meant. And so she told me she wow. heard on the Bible story, 1 Samuel chapter 20, verse 30, they translated, "You son of a perverse, rebellious woman," they translated that as S-O-B. And I can't see that that was in the Bible. Can you give me some information on that?
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It says perverse, which is na'awat in Hebrew. And you know, I'm looking at, I got tools to help me, okay? So this is not like I got all this memorized or anything. So it means perverse, perverted, amiss, turned crooked, bowed down, troubled, wicked. And rebellious is the word mardut, and it's translated as rebellious once, rebellion, and rebelliousness. So that's what that means, a perverse and rebellious woman. I think they just keep it as what it says, perverse and rebellious.
Yeah, I don't understand why they would put that word in a children's Bible story. I mean, it's just...
Yeah.
I can't see that it says that, like you said. That's all I see, perverse and rebellious woman.
Yeah. And see the...
And so now I'm half...
Go ahead. I was going to do other translations, what they say, but go ahead.
I was going to say, I'm saying now I have to kind of monitor what mm-hmm. Christian Bible stories she watches, mm-hmm. you know, to make sure.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember when... we were raising our daughters. They were quite young and toddler age and stuff like that. And we would let them watch Sesame Street until one day when I actually saw it. My eyes bugged out and I said, "Hun, come listen to this." And played it back. It was okay to be angry. It's okay to get to yell and throw things. What? It was bad. Hold on. We got a break, okay? Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
Welcome back, everybody. Randall, are you still there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Yeah, I did a little bit of research and on parallel translations, and basically they all say perverse and rebellious. There's a few minor variations here and there, but that's what it says. So I don't know why they would do that, and I would write to them and say, what's the reason? What's going on? And now I have to be careful to have, you know, daughter watch what you guys do.
Yeah, I think it was the Children's Living Bible is what they were basing that off of. And so they're not allowed to watch those certain ones anymore. But anyway, I just wanted your Greek and Hebrew knowledge of it, you know, to see that's all needed.
Yeah, my Hebrew is so bad, but I do have tools, and I can look at it. So that's what it is, okay? All right, buddy.
Okay. All right, well, thank you very much, man.
All right. God bless. All right, let's get to William from Wake Forest, North Carolina. Will, you're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How are you?
Doing all right, by God's grace. What do you got, man?
I am grateful to be talking to you. I listen to you once in a while, but I have never called or gotten through, so this is very impromptu. So,
hey, no problem at all. No problem.
Like you and everybody else, I've been watching what's going on politically, and the phrase, the man of lawlessness, keeps coming up in my mind regarding Obama and mainly the Democratic Party and, frankly, a lot of the Republicans as well.
Yeah,
so
I
guess my question is, with all this going on, do you see, like I perceive, that we are truly, truly, I mean, very near the end of time?
Well, we're always getting closer and closer to the end times, but the temple's got to be rebuilt. There needs to be a complete apostasy, a one-world government kind of thing coming in. Now, when all this is going to exactly happen, we don't know. But, you know, it's moving. And I follow some very conservative news outlets, which will mention things that the normal outlets don't mention. But there's a lot of canceling going on, a lot of persecution going on of conservatives. Well, does this mean it's the end times? No, not necessarily. It might mean that it's a way for Christians to finally wake up and start praying. In fact, this has actually caused me to pray more for my country.
And me too. Yeah.
It's a good thing. So, you know, we don't know. Our job is to trust God, move forward, continue to pray. I prayed for Obama. I prayed for Biden.
Me too.
Harris, you know.
Pray for your enemy.
Yeah, it says pray for your enemies. Yeah, I consider them to be, I consider Biden and Harris to be enemies of the Constitution. I don't believe that they hold the oath, as Biden puts his hand on the Bible and swears to uphold the Constitution. That means he's swearing by God, and then he supports LGBTQ and abortion.
Brother, they have
there.
A different God.
They have a different God altogether, and he's a hypocrite. You know, I don't trust basically any politician now. I mean, there are some out there that are good, but they're never going to get in because the leftist news media is going to lambast them and just show their hypocrisy. You know, they went after Trump. They were talking about impeaching him before he was even inaugurated. And you know, it's just ridiculous. They went after him, hook, line, and sinker. They went after him so bad. And
what I'm thinking is that we are what the Bible refers to as the remnant. There are very few of us left.
You know, I know a lot of Christians who really trust in the Lord, really believe in the Lord. And I'm in Idaho, and there's only 2 million people in the entire state. There's a lot of us around. God has his people. So what we need to do is be praying for our nation, praying for our leaders, and pray that God would revive them, and that they would uphold the Constitution to which they've sworn to uphold, and to not go against God and then incur his wrath upon them and the nation that they rule. And this is what's coming.
I have prayed so hard for that. I mean, so hard, because the Bible, and it's difficult because you know these people are against you. but I've prayed so hard for God to change their heart,
yeah.
to turn, to send a great revival to this nation, so yeah. that we will be a witness to the whole world, so that God may get the glory. And we're just going not that direction.
Well, the thing is, the church hasn't been praying that. And if it gets bad for 1 month, then the church repents. Okay, but generally speaking, God lets us have what we deserve as a church.
Yeah.
As a people yep. who have not been doing what they're obligated to do. God disciplines those whom he loves. He loves his people.
Yep.
And there's a great many very godly people in the Christian church, but there are a lot of them that are charlatans and a lot that teach false things. And so... there's going to come something, some discipline and reproving. The church needs to be purified.
Yeah, the rain and the drought falls on both the good and the wicked. So
that's right.
I'm thinking is that we're all about to reap God's wrath. I kind of think God has turned his back on this nation.
That's because this nation's turned his back.
You know what?
On God.
Even us Christians, we could be better.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Or even weak.
I'm with you. We just got to be praying more, and we need to repent and just trust in what God has done and will continue to do for us. And that's what he wants. And if we do that as a Christian people, things will change. That's what has to happen.
Do you think God, it says that if my people shall repent and turn to me and I will be their God and they will be my people.
Yep.
You think we, even as a nation, still has a hope so that we can be that shining
Absolutely.
City on the hill?
Absolutely. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's right. That's right. All right, well, we got calls, so I'm going to get going, okay? So thanks for calling.
Okay, thanks, Matt. It was nice talking to you. Thank you.
Nice talking to you, too. God bless. Hey folks, it's got a little update. The site has been updated a little bit. I don't know if the survey's still working though, but go to Carm Israel, because we're going to try and go to Israel next year, and we want to know if people are interested. Check it out, okay? Hey, let's get to Tracy from Raleigh, North Carolina. We lost Tracy, and she said about voting for an adulterer. I think she might be referring to Trump. And that would be a great conversation. We should talk about that. Oh, she can call back. Mike from Iowa, welcome. You're on the air. And we lost him. Let's get to Gavin from Ohio. Let's see if Gavin's there. Hey, Gavin, are you there?
I'm still here.
How's All right. it going? Hey, what's going, man? What do you got, buddy?
Hey, I had a little bit of feedback for the site.
Uh-huh.
Are you guys bringing back that little banner on the side that had the articles listed? Because right now it's kind of hard to browse.
Okay, let me ask you. When you're on the site, do you see the hamburger menu, the three horizontal bars?
I see that. When I click it, it says navigation okay. bar or something, but that's all it says. It doesn't
and
have a list of anything.
Okay, so what we have is a problem, and for some reason, and we don't know, the way things work with a new website is new technology, you buy a module. We had to get a special module because of the nature of how CARM is, and it turns out that in certain resolutions, the hamburger menu doesn't work right. So we're aware of it, and so that's why I'm taking time to talk about it, because you're the only caller we got right now, and others might be having the same problem. So if you can change your resolution to a higher res, then you'll see the words navigation menu appear, if you can do that. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But then when you click on navigation menu, then everything works. And also on the phone,
okay.
it works fine. So,
I haven't checked it out on the phone.
Yeah, so it's on browsers that it's a problem. And so our web guy worked on it. We don't know what the problem is. And he put a ticket in to the company. It's an issue. So, and there's several issues that we have to deal with and stuff like that. But it's what
yeah.
it is.
Okay.
It's technical stuff, and a lot of times we just don't know what's going to happen until we see. He has high-res monitors. I do, too, so we didn't see it. So I even need to get a Macintosh computer so I can work on stuff on Mac so I can know how sites work. But that's another thing.
Yeah, I was going to say, too, I'm using Safari on Mac, so that might be part of it.
Okay. Okay. Well, good.
And then, have you got a chance yet to look at the new NASB?
No. I want to get it. I just haven't seen it. I remember you called about that.
Oh, okay.
And so if I can go on AMP, like, I'm looking for the, it's called NASB 2020, right? Yeah.
Yeah, they actually have it on Bible Gateway, too, so you can just check it out there.
Yeah, I want to get the, oh, there it is. I get it on Kindle. That's what I want. So, good. Because I do everything on Kindle. I have hundreds of books that are on Kindle now. So what I can do is go through it and check it. That's what I want to do. Good, 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 good.
Cool, yeah. Interested to see what you thought.
Yeah, I will check it out. I'll know what verses to go into to check things out and to look. And I can do that very quickly, even while we're even on the air. But it's no big deal. So there you go. Yeah, thanks for reminding me about that. And sorry about the... Let me ask you. So do you like the overall look of the site?
Oh, yeah. I meant to say that. Yeah, I mean, it looks great.
Okay.
Yeah, it looks good. Really nice.
And also, near where that hamburger menu is, there's a little magnifying glass. You can type in an article title or a topic, and it'll it should show up there, too. Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I'll give that a try. I did see the magnifying glass.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to change a few things on how it's done, but our guy's on vacation, too, for 1 week. And so, you know, patience, patience, patience. That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. All right.
No, it looks nice. I always throw it out there to people I talk to, you know, if they have questions and that kind of thing. So I'm excited for the new look and excited to start using it.
Well, good. Appreciate it. Okay.
All right. All right. Thanks, Matt.
Thank you. All right. So, hey, folks, we only have about a minute left in the show. Let me give you a reminder that we're going to try and get a CARM trip to Israel, where I would go, my wife would hopefully would go as well. And if we can get 10 people, 15 people to sign up, then we have some other group that wants to go. We can get 25 people total, then we can do the trip. And let me tell you, I've done it, and it really is a lot of fun. It is great. If you are interested in checking it out, all you got to do is go to carmisrael.com. It will auto-forward to another website, and that's from Eric Johnson. Now, you can email Eric at eric@mrm.org. That's eric@mrm.org. And he coordinates. He's been leading trips a lot. He would be going, and that way you wouldn't have to worry about it because he's got a lot of experience over there. So if you're interested in checking it out, you think you might like to go, then what you could do is simply just email us and say, yeah, interested in going. And you can check out that website. And there's a lot of stuff there. There's a lot of stuff that he's already put up, and you can check it out. All right, carmisrael.com. The Lord bless you. There's the music, and by his grace, we'll be back on the air tomorrow. And Lord willing, we'll talk to you then. God bless everybody. We'll see you. Bye.